All right. So Derek started off this morning's like, we're a family that laugh together, that dance together, sing. That's a new one. but we're also a family that dies together. and I thought, that's the only way that I can link this preach. That we're going to die together. And the title of my message today is Deny Yourself. Deny Yourself. Some of us, we know Jesus for many years, but we actually started living for ourselves again. We've given Him everything, but somehow we're taking up our lives again and we're living it for ourselves. I want to read for us, let's read together from Mark 8, verse 31 to 38. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And He said plainly, now you need to know that until this point, he's spoken in parables. He's not really said as plainly as this, like, I'm actually going to suffer. I'm going to be rejected. And I will be killed, and I'll be raised in the third day. And as He was saying this, Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. But turning and seeing the disciples, He rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And He called to Him the crowd with His disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father with his holy angels." We've ever, I know some of us, some of us actually have heard somebody saying to us, "Get behind me, Satan." But just, Neelan, somebody told him like that before. And, but who have you actually experienced that when somebody comes and tell you, "Get behind me, Satan"? That's hard words. It's like, I mean, here Jesus is speaking and he's saying, "I must suffer many things and be rejected and I must be killed and after 3 days rise again." And He said it as plainly, I'm going to die. And Peter is sitting there, he's like, "No." Remember Peter, just a few verses earlier, he said, "You are the Christ. Who do you say I am?" He said, "You are the Christ." And Jesus says, "On this rock, I will build my church." One moment, he's like declaring who this Messiah is. The next moment, when the Messiah is saying, "This is what's going to happen," he's no longer a rock. He's a stumbling block. This rock, from one moment to another, turned into a stumbling block. And Jesus, and he pulls Jesus aside and says, "Jesus," and it says the word rebuke is the same that's used where Jesus actually cast out demons. It's the same thing. It's like when he rebukes a demon. So he pulls Jesus to the side. "Jesus, you cannot die. This is not, no, you are the Messiah. But Peter wasn't, he didn't really understand what was it all about. It's like he wanted to preserve and keep Jesus. And Jesus looked at his disciples and says, "Oh, get behind me, Satan. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. What is your mind on at this moment? Are you thinking the thoughts that Jesus would actually speak to you in this moment, in your thoughts, and say, get behind me, Satan? You are not setting your mind on the things of God. Peter was missing a point here. And the point was, Jesus had a mission to complete. He did not leave the comfort of heaven to come and preserve himself. He did not come to be preserved. He came to give himself as a sacrifice. Pure and spotless lamb who had to die. But Peter says, no, Jesus, don't die. And that was the thinking of Satan. Jesus, because, I mean, when Jesus went into the desert, the devil just wanted to lure Jesus away from this mission. And now, Peter, the one that actually brought the revelation of who Jesus is the one that wants to draw Jesus away from the mission. There's a mission. And Jesus said, I will not abandon my Father's mission. I've come for the sins of the world. I've come to die for the sins of the world. And it's only through death that this can happen. So just think about this thing. Like, not setting your mind. Setting your mind. That word, it's used in English three words now here, but it's actually one word. It's to keep on giving serious consideration to something. To ponder. To let one's mind dwell on. To keep thinking about. To fix one's attention. It's like, what fills your thoughts? Is your thoughts filled with thoughts of God or of thoughts of man? The thoughts of man is, how can I preserve myself? Ingelegde vrugte. Huh? Wie van julle wil 'n blikkie ingelegde vrugte wees? Wat is die Engelse woord vir ingelegde vrugte? Huh? Tin food. Maar Afrikaans sê dit net beter. It's like you put preservative into die blikkie perskes, so dat dit nie afgaan nie. And so we want to keep ourselves in the right, an original state. We don't want to lose our lives. We want to stay as what we our lives want to be. We want to live our lives. We want to set our mind. It's like, and I think we just look at the media, look everywhere. There are people everywhere, you, me, every one of us. And we're looking at ways how to preserve our lives. And Peter's like, let's just preserve Jesus. He's God. Let's not touch him. Let's keep him in this. I mean, there's miracles, there's signs. Let's not mess with that. Let's keep it as it preserve. And Jesus says, if I don't die, there's no way for you. There's a law, there's two laws in psychology. The one is like it says, whatever you give your attention to the most, that's what you're going to think. And whatever you think, that's what's going to shape your life. And our attention is lured away by the things of this world. By the mindset, the things of this world. And our attention is lured away by this. And we start thinking about this. We're mindful of the things of man. And what happens? Our lives follow. So we get ourselves in places where we're complacent. Where we are, where's the Lord? I don't pray. Who of you, while praying this week in tongues, just taking 50 minutes, felt that your spirit became alive? Just like you feel that there was an awakening in your heart. There was twice this week where I was dead tired. I was like completely tired, and I just started praying in tongues, and then it was like a new engine in here. I was like, Friday night, we had the worship evening, and I came there, but I was tired. Even Temba told me, you look tired. It's like, he said, man, you look tired. I said, no, I am tired. I'm really tired. And so we started a prayer meeting, and I sat down, and I was sitting on my, and as I was praying, my spirit became the Lord just coming to fill me with His Spirit. And I brought my guitar because Keenan said he can't be there. So I thought, if nobody rocks up with a guitar, I'll faith it. I'll do whatever I can. I'll have my guitar there. But as I was starting to pray, a roar came. And it was almost like I told the kids afterwards, I want to go and run now. I feel energized. and just there was such a life. But I think as we give our thoughts to the end, like the world comes, give me your attention. Who of you have ever felt great if after you binged a series? Huh? Who of you, just let's be honest, like you've binged a series like for hours, who of you have ever felt great after that? No. It's like, let's binge some more. And it's like, there's nothing in that. There is nothing. And the world is putting these things. They put it in automatic play. So you don't even have to go and press the next episode. It asks you, can I play the next episode for you? I'll make it as easy for you. Give me your attention. Give me all your attention. Because if I have your attention, I'll have your thoughts. And if I have your thoughts, I'll have your life. I'll have everything. Now, Peter did not have Netflix and whatever. He did not have that. But at that moment, he wanted to preserve Jesus, keep him in his original state. But Jesus says, that's the thoughts of Satan. So actually what Jesus was doing, he wasn't saying, Peter, you're Satan. He was speaking beyond Peter to Satan and says, this mindset, I'm addressing this mindset in you, which is not of God. What are you giving your attention to? Because that's going to shape your thoughts. And that will shape how your life will look. If you are not happy of where you're at with your relationship with God, you're probably letting your mind dwelling on things that is not God. You're giving your attention to things. And I can't say it as lighter and easier as that. That's the reality. Is it amen of Aina? I wanted to say before I start, just track your toe terug, so that you're not on a trap. Okay, but as it nog steeds uit is, track it nog terug. Dus net nou my kom. But I really believe the reason why I'm sharing this message, because I want to remind us of the mission. We have a mission, the same mission that Jesus came for. And we're not doing the mission because we're feeling horrible about ourselves and our times in the Lord. Or, I don't know where you are at, but it could be. And you know, then the next verse, Jesus, he says, where am I now? Oh yeah, just one thought. Like Peter wanted to preserve Jesus. Just the next chapter, the Mount of Transfiguration. Now Moses and Elijah appears and he says, let's build 3 tents. Let's just preserve this. I mean, we love Peter. I love Peter because if there weren't Peters in this life, we all would sit still on our chairs and do nothing. We need the Peters to just wake us up and just like, well, it's just run into this thing and it doesn't matter what's going to happen. We'll just go for it. We need the Peters. So if you're a Peter and you say silly things like that, don't down yourself. Just like Jesus, help me. Help me channel this energy, this zeal that I have for you in the right direction. Help me to follow you with what's in me. And so Peter is this, like, but Jesus is trying to, Peter, it's not about preserving the Son of Man. The Son of Man must suffer. He must be rejected. And he will be killed. But he didn't hurt the last one. And he will raise on the third day. It's like that part he missed out. He heard suffer, reject, and kill. And we live our lives in that place. But Jesus wants us to see that he has risen. Okay. And then verse 34, it says, and if anyone would come after me. Okay. So he's speaking to the crowds. Now, Jesus is speaking. It seems like there's been a moment. It's not exactly the time, some time passed. Now there's crowds and there's his disciples. There are followers and there are crowds, which is fans. Fans were excited about the miracles, but they were not necessarily ready to pay the price. Even his disciples struggled with this. So the crowds were around and his disciples. And he says, okay, guys, if anyone would come after me. Anyone, crowds and disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Who of you wants to go after Jesus? Who wants to? Okay. All right. So, can I just see? Don't be shy. Who wants to come after Jesus? Okay. All right. So, all right. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Because the mindset of this world is not just, and you know, this is not like I'm not going to eat that cake now or that. It's everything in you that wants to come in opposition to the mission. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. The things in you that wants to give in to those things that want to grab your attention, that will shape your thoughts, that will shape your life. Deny yourself. The word deny is to disregard, to pay no attention to say no. Say no. To forget oneself. And I'm not meaning don't brush your teeth. And persoonlijke hygiëne is belangrijk, right? But in this, deny yourself, it's surrendering ourselves to Christ and determined to obey His will. Surrendering yourself to Christ and determine your heart that you will obey His will. Because Peter wasn't really clear what was the will of God. But in a sense, there is a sense that there's a will and there's a will of the Father. And what is that will? Sometimes it's like, I just have to deny myself. So I have to neglect my family and go into some African country and do evangelism. But here at home, your son is not even serving the Lord. And God has been getting your attention. Say, you need to share the gospel. You need to example Jesus to your own family. My will for you is to be in your family right now. So I'm not saying we all should pack our stuff like the Moravians and get on a ship and say, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. If he's saying that to you, do it. But if he's saying, get into the ship of your own home and example Christ to your family, make disciples in your own home, then do that. Jerusalem, Judea. To the ends of the earth. Samaria, I missed that one. Also to that one also. What denying yourself is to do what the Father is saying. Jesus did not do unless he saw the Father do it. Unless he heard the Father speak. So denying yourself, don't get all spiritual and say, I'm going to do this or what. Follow his voice. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Do you still hear His voice? Maybe you cannot hear His voice because you're listening to other voices. You're giving your attention to other things. Your thoughts are overwhelmed with all these things. So it's not, I'm not speaking about self-denial. I'm speaking about deny self. There is a bit of a difference. Okay. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Is everybody still okay? Are you here? It was very soft and loving. I'm bringing this strong word. But I believe at the back of us being saved, there is a mission. This is why I'm bringing the. I want to wake us up this morning to the mission. I heard actually during the week in the prayer meetings, I want to announce in church as loud as possible, winter is over. It is spring. Okay, get out of the comfort of your blankets and start waking up in the spirit and waking up in what God has for us. We are here for a purpose. We are not here to hibernate. That's for snakes and bears. We are out here to be alive. Yes. Okay, Romans 12 verse 1 to 2. I appeal therefore to you, therefore brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So it's actually worship to give yourself to Jesus. Huh? Come and die. Come and die. It's worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Having His mind. Having His mind. Do not conform to this thinking of this world. So if you don't want to conform to the thinking of this world, it's probably you have to be mindful of what you're giving your thinking to. Because it's going to conform you. You're going to look like somebody that is not saved. Because your life will follow your thoughts. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And Lord, I pray that you will come and renew our minds, that we will be transformed, that we'll get rid of the thinking of this world, and that we will take on the thinking of God, the mindset of God, be mindful of the things of God. And by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, that is good and acceptable and perfect. I read a story. We did some research, did a podcast on screen time this week, and so read a lot. Yeah, and then I came upon this story, and I thought it can. I didn't use the story, but I actually thought it can work very well this morning. Now, who of you have ever heard in the 1100s of the Knights of Templar? Huh? All right. Now, legend has it that these guys were these amazing warriors. There was not a battle that they lost. They were completely, I mean, they were always outnumbered, but they would win battles. They were this amazing army. But one thing about them is, it says, the legend says, when they get baptized, they would get baptized with their swords above the water. So they say, Lord, you can have everything, but what happens on the battlefield is not part of the deal. And I believe some of us actually live our lives like that. We have parts that we give to Jesus that is under the water that we have got baptized, and there, maybe it's a phone. Lord, you can have my whole life. Or my wallet, my car keys. You know, people take out their wallet and their car keys when they get baptized. And then when they finish baptized, they put it back in their pockets. But this picture is just so vivid in a sense that we have parts of our lives that we give to the Lord. And then there's parts that we say, this is not part of the deal. Where Jesus is saying, deny yourself. I want it all. Let me not sing that song now. That's not a godly song. Anyway, renew my mind, Lord. Crucifixion. Oh, yeah, that's what. It was in that tithing message the other way. That I want it all. Okay. But the second one is, first, deny yourself. Give Jesus everything. Let alles onder die water gaan. Live your life as that. Don't take back parts. And then take up your cross. Now, let me just read this to you. I won't be able to remember this. Crucifixion was reserved specifically for offenders who had rebelled against authority. To take up one's cross referred to the practice of forcing a condemned person to carry the cross beam of his execution, carry a cross beam to his execution site. This showed that although he had rebelled against authority, the condemned person was now completely conquered. That is the last act in life, and would carry the instrument of his demise, his death, to the place of his death. A call to bear one's cross as part of following Jesus, then, is a call to be submitted to Christ as the condemned criminal who was to his death. We are all called to die. We die together. Because the world thinks if you preserve your life, you will have life. But then Jesus goes on a bit further and he says now that, let me run. I say, if you save your life, you will lose it. I'll get to that now. I'm running ahead of myself. Let me just hold it. Okay. So Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross. And the last one is follow me. The famous words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Did I say Bonhoeffer? Yeah, I'll say. Helps us to understand the meaning of self-denial. When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. Are you still dying? Are you taking up your cross daily? In Luke, it says, do this daily, not just once off. I prayed a prayer once, Lord, way, way back. Now I'm living for myself again. No, it's a daily thing. It's like laying down our lives to follow Jesus, to give our lives to him. And then the next one is follow me. Go after, obey. Come after me. Do as I do. I'm not here to save my life. That is the mindfulness of the things of man. See, in the context, there's a lot of things that I can say, deny yourself of this, of that. But in the context of this, Jesus was speaking about the mission. He had a mission to complete. I did not leave the comfort of heaven to come and preserve myself. And so the same he's saying to us who follow him. Follow me as I do. Deny yourself. Do not preserve your life. Take up your cross. Walk as one who is conquered. Are you conquered by Jesus? Or is there parts of you that's hanging outside? Can I say it like a South African taxi? Das deel wat uithang. Maar baie keer is dit so vol dat alles skak uit. It is like this, we try to fit in so many things. It is like let's put everything inside. In Christ, conquered, completely conquered. Completely conquered by Christ. And let's follow him. Matthew 4 verse 19 says, it says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So part of the call is not just to come to church. Sorry that I have to say that. Well done that you're here this morning. It's not just to sing a song and come into the front and do the jump and worship. And it's not just. We have a mission. When last did you share the gospel with somebody? When last did you tell somebody of how you were born again, like we did this morning, like it was modeled to us this morning? When last did you sit with somebody and explained what Jesus has done in your life, and they're trying to find their way, and you said, come sit with me, like Philip that got to the Ethiopian on the ran and just explained to him. When last did you prioritize the mission? So guys, winter is over. We've got a mission. And each and every one of us has a part to play in that mission. But for that mission to happen, we need to deny ourselves. We need to say no to the things of this world. Because if it has our attention, it has our thoughts. If it has our thoughts, it has our lives. So we need to say no. No. We're not going to build tents and try to preserve me. We're going to live and spend our lives for the glory of God. And we're going to do this in obedience. We're not going to even try and do godsdienstige goeders in the name of denying ourselves. We're going to follow His voice. Because let me tell you, there's a lot more power in following Jesus than you trying to be spiritual. That's why you have to sometimes, that's why I actually desire that most of us actually, I heard of people that when they prayed in tongues this week received healing. Who received healing while you was praying this week? Yeah, healing, Jock, was jy? Ek sien jy vir Jock, hy seker daar achter. Yeah, he's waving. He had a chest pain and he prayed in tongues and the Lord healed him while he was praying. There was somebody else that also testified about healing. Yeah, Deborah, she here today? No. There's people that experienced that saw the Lord clearer. But you know, that's why we actually pray in tongues, because your mind becomes unfruitful. And then you start getting what's the mind and the will of God. And if you start following the Lord, obviously you can hear His voice in other ways also, but our lives will be guided with the Lord, and then we can do the mission that He's called us to do. Okay, verse 35. Are you still okay? I'm going to finish now. I'm coming to a landing. And that's where everybody's like, okay, cool. I can sit. Okay, close my Bible. But just keep on listening just a little bit now. It says, verse 35 is, whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but forfeit his soul? What can a man give in return for his soul? And this thing, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, in this unfaithful time, I will also be ashamed one day in glory of that. It's like, I will not mention your name. If you do not mention my name... Have you ever thought of it? Yeah, Modus, but I prayed the sinner's prayer. Surely I'm going to heaven. But if I read, yeah, it's like, if you are ashamed of my name. So it does not stop at salvation. It does not stop at salvation. There are many opportunities where Jesus is going to call you to say His name into very dark and very bad situations, to shine light, but to love, to care, to give to the Lord, to be generous. There will be many of these opportunities. He says, if you're not ashamed in those moments of me in this world, I will not be ashamed of you. I will tell of Richard. I will tell of Nian. Last year, December, I was trying to take holiday. Then I get messages from Nian about all the people in Hartenbos that he's trying to reach for Jesus. I'm sharing the gospel with them. Nian, don't stop doing that. Don't let this world get hold of you. Don't stop doing that. Every one of us. Mark, you have a part to play. You have a part to play. Yosha, you have a part to play. Trikus, you have a part to play. Chris, you have a part to play. And I want to close with this. We are part of a partnership of churches in the earth that God is using mightily to make disciples and to restore church to where Jesus would like it to be. And we're speaking about the 412 conference, but I don't know if you guys realize that we are part of something big. something huge in this time and this period, that God has a mission for each and every one of us. But we can say, yay, we're part of 412. But you know what? We are called to Wellington. Being part of 412 means that we need to be light in Wellington. We need to share the gospel. We need to make disciples. We have a mission in Wellington. As we keep doing it, the church in Isle of Man will do it. The church in India will do it. The church in Russia will do it. And we all together, partnering together and sharing the gospel. Then we come together once a year. And then we go from there, equipped and ready to go and do it again. And not stop doing that until everyone has heard about Jesus. Until churches, healthy New Testament Christian churches, are planted in every nation, in every town, and it pops up because there are people that are not going to deny, or the people that denies themselves and giving them lives for the kingdom, for what God has called us to do. Young people, it's not just the old people that's going to do this. We need you. So wake up. I know some of you are going through your teen years, but don't be under that curse. Break free from that curse and follow Jesus. Don't be stuck in the teenager mindset, in the world mindset. Get the mind of God. Get, Lord, I'm a teenager. There are things happening in my body, and I don't understand everything, but I'm going to follow you with all this mess. I'm going to give myself to you for your glory. Then those of us that are in our middle, you have a part to play. I think I'm getting over the middle part now. You know you're getting old when you see old people the whole time. You're like, I'm going to be there one day. But you're young, you think you're never going to get old. But it's like we are all in different stages of life, and each and every one of you have a part to play. This is what we mean when we say we are not a church where there's just pew warmers. So I want to say to you guys, if you see yourself as a member of this congregation, I want to tell you there's a mission. God has have a mission for each and every one of us. And yes, people will get saved on a Sunday if we bring them. But it doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop on a Sunday. We need to get outside these walls, at our workplaces. We need to get to a place where we're not ashamed about the gospel, as we have seen revealed and displayed here this morning. Yeah? All right. Okay. So, I want to pray two types of prayers. The one is, I want you to respond. If you know that if Jesus speak into the very moment of your life right now, and he looks at your thoughts, would he say to you, get behind me, Satan? Or would he say, well done, good and faithful servant? If Jesus would speak into, you know what's going on in your head. I mean, your head can be crazy, and then at church, hey, I'm doing great, yeah. But Jesus knows what's going on in your head. What are you giving yourself to? If he would speak into the very core of your being, what would he say? Are you mindful of the things of man, or are you mindful of the things of God? Or would he say, well done, good and faithful servant? So I want to give a moment. And then I'm going to pray a prayer of getting our army together and let us wake together, wake up and serve the Lord in this town. But first, I want to give a moment. If you know, you sit and you feel convicted, you feel like, hey, I've been giving too much of my time for the world. And I want to stop it today. And I want to give my life to Jesus. Not first time salvation. I want to follow him. I want to deny myself. I want to take up my cross, and I want to follow Jesus with everything in me. So this is a moment that you just close your eyes where you are, and just like, if you need to repent, repent. Say, Lord, please forgive me that I've been mindful of the things of man. Please forgive me where I've actually allowed my attention to be captured by this world. And that has been shaping what I was thinking about. And that has been shaping my life. So, Father, please forgive me. That's what repentance is I'm turning away from that way of life and I'm turning to you. So if that's you, just where you are, just speak to Jesus. I'm just going to give a few seconds. I'm not going to let you stand. I want you just to consider your ways. Just consider where you are. And mark a omkeer. That's what repentance means. It's omkeer. Moving in another direction. Just take this moment.